Asa. Don't let him be a bully, so to say. We just make a decision. We're not going to allow him to imprison us or to put us in bondage, because our Lord has freed us from those things. And I hope to be a blessing to you this morning as we talk about, think a little bit this morning about, you can be freed or imprisoned by your past. I think each of us here this morning would say that we have had one time or another a rough road, that we've gone through some difficult time, we've gone through some discouragements. But don't let that define who you are. Don't let that become who you be. Don't allow that to cause you to what you will become, but allow the Lord to use it to encourage you, strengthen you, and remind you what God did for you during that time. Now, I don't know my audience fully this morning. I know we have a few visitors. We're glad you're here. We're honored that you're here, and I hope to get a chance to see you or at least say hello after the service if I did not get a chance to earlier in the service. So I'm going to do a little bit of a survey real quick, a little bit of background, and then we'll get right into our message. Here, the book of Genesis is a book of beginnings. It tells us who we are and how we got here. We can see three beginnings throughout the whole book of Genesis. The beginning of creation with Adam. The beginning again, of course, being Noah. God is a beginning again God. Amen. And then we see the beginning of the Hebrew race, or God's chosen people, Israel. And we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The last 13 chapters deals with Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph is brought to Egypt and sold as a slave by his brothers, all because he had an interpretation and told them about his dream that they did not like. God blesses the house of Potiphar because of Joseph while he was there. Joseph is put through the ringer and finds himself in prison for something that he did not do. In fact, for 13 years, Joseph is in a pit, in Potiphar's house, or in prison. And not once do I find in Scripture where he whined or complained. Not once. He trusted God. Then he is elevated to the second highest position in the entire world at that time. He is second in command under Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Outwardly, Joseph was prosperous and quite successful during this time. But inwardly, he was in turmoil and maybe even haunted by his past. But yet, he continued to do the right thing day by day. Notice in verse 51 and verse 52 of our text, we see the names of his, Joseph's sons described in reference to his past. See, God was not asleep. He was allowing Joseph to be prepared for the next level. It has been said that life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to what happens in our life. Joseph went through the time of testing. This shows us that we too can be freed from our past. He calls his first son Manasseh. Why? Because God said, have made me forget all of my toil. And then Ephraim, because for God have caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. We see the reflection of how he felt in the turmoil and the naming of his sons. Dear friends, God has a plan. Be patient with God's process. Be patient. I'm not always very patient. And some of you might understand what I'm saying. I don't think Michelle has ever made a cake or a batch of cookies that I did not get into the dough before it went in the oven. No, we want some of it. We want to enjoy some of it now. God is telling us to be patient. He knows exactly what he's doing. Be patient with his process. Will you be freed or imprisoned by your past? How will you live forward from today going on? I hope that you have overcome some things in your past. Maybe you still have some turmoil. Maybe you're still reminded of some things. Maybe you struggle with your past. But let me encourage you and remind you, you can be freed from your past. You do not have to be imprisoned. And again, today I hope to encourage you. Let's look at a few things in reference to being to living free in Christ and not imprisoned to our past. Number one, God can use the events of your past to develop your character. God can use the events of your past to develop your character. Joseph, now 30, was not ready for his present position before his time of testing and preparation. He wasn't ready to step into those responsibilities on day one, 13 years prior, when he was sold into slavery. Notice the testing that Joseph went through. First, there was a pride test. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. Then there was a prosperity test, the handling of Potiphar's household. He oversaw Potiphar's household, all of his money, all of his expenses, all of his servants, all who came and went in his house. He had oversight, the prosperity test. And then we see the purity test, Potiphar's wife, when he came to Joseph and wanted a little more for him to take care of, not just the things, but maybe even her. But yet the Bible says that he fled from the presence of her. And then we see the patience test. And of course, him fleeing caused him to be put in prison. The patience test. He kept getting wronged, but yet he continued to go about serving and doing the right thing. See, we get impatient at the fast food drive-thru at times. Can you imagine going through the turmoil? Can you imagine sitting through the fast food drive-thru for 13 years? Can you imagine sitting through a process or a situation for 13 years? I mean, it's hard enough to give birth and go 13 years to get them out of high school. But the process of time and waiting upon the Lord and realizing that we believe God is in control or we don't. We can allow ourselves to be imprisoned or freed, trusting God because he knows exactly what he's doing. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So we must allow God to use the events of our past, good or bad, difficult or hard, to develop our character. He is working to make us more like him, to be more of his image of those that are around us. Number two, God can help you forget about your past. God can help you forget about your problems, past or present. He can help you to forget. Do you know why so much is emphasized on the life of Joseph, though he is not even in the lineage of Christ? You ever take the time to study some of this passage and what is being said? It says, his life magnifies and points to Jesus like no one else. He is more like Christ, a picture of what is to come. Joseph had a Gentile wife, and the bride of Christ is Gentile. Notice this, nothing about the past of Joseph's wife is mentioned when she meets Joseph. And nothing about the past of a sinner that comes to Christ is mentioned before the Father. Amen? But if that can't make you shout, if that doesn't bless you, your blesser's broke. I mean, when we came to the Lord, he chose to forget. If you can't be blessed again by that, there's something wrong. Dear friends, when we came to Christ, he chose to put it behind and to move forward. Notice what God did for Joseph. He did two things. First of all, he made or helped him to forget. In other words, he Manasseh'd Joseph. His firstborn son simply means that he was made or helped to forget. Folks, I don't know about you. If I'd have been sold into slavery by my brothers, if I'd have been in that pit, camel ride across the desert, then into slavery, and then elevated, then imprisoned, and only one time as you read, does Joseph mention anything for himself. Never complained. He always looked to be elevated where he was at. He held the keys to the prison before it was all over. But one time he only mentioned to the cupbearer or the baker, I can't remember, but he said, remember me. That was the only thing he ever said. Never complained. He just kept going. Two things. Not only do we see that God helped him forget, but number two, he caused him to be fruitful in the land of affliction. Or he Ephraimed Joseph. Think about that for a moment. There was a famine in the land, and because of what Joseph did and the insight that God gave him, he saved a world and was elevated instead of sitting in his pity party, instead of being upset, instead of saying, what am I going to do? Instead of throwing in the towel and being defeated, he says, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. I'm just going to go ahead and do right. I'm going to serve. I'll be the servant I need to be, and I'll trust God to elevate him. And he did through Potiphar's house. He did in the prison eventually, and then over, only second in command of the whole world at that time. In the place of his affliction, in the place of Joseph's pain, the place he was sold to and imprisoned now fell under his rule and his control. Think about that for a moment. Under his rule and his control over those 13 years. Even if Joseph did remember the events, the blessings of the outcome is what he could rejoice over. Maybe some of you ladies heard my wife say this. He chose to be joyful. He chose to have joy. He chose, no matter how he felt, no matter how things were difficult, he says, I'm going to be joyful. The book of Nehemiah, I think it's chapter 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, it's the happenings around us that may base upon our happiness, but our joy comes from the Lord. I can feel bad. I can feel discouraged. I could be sick. I could be struggling, but I could still have joy. That's the physical man, but the spiritual man can choose to have joy and be grateful for what God has done for him. God can help you forget about your past. In Genesis chapter 50, Joseph's father dies. Have not seen him since he was sold into slavery. And his brothers come to him. Now the flesh might have moved Joseph to get even. I can't help but to confess, I don't know if I'd have a struggle or not of getting even with my brothers or not. But notice what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19 and 20. The Bible says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring to pass as it is today to save much people alive. Dear friends, only God could help you forget about your troubles. Think about that for a minute. 13-some years ago, he sold into slavery because he is favored. He's the youngest. His father loves him, gives him this coat of many colors. He tells his brothers the interpretation of the dream. They get upset. They sell him into slavery. He's bought by somebody else, cast out, and went on into Egypt. And all this time, back here, God knew down there there would be a famine. God knew down there would be trouble. God knew there would be turmoil. God knew, even though Joseph was going through these things, God knew he was the man, the young man that would be brought up and would grow, and God would use him down here to feed the whole world. Dear friends, it doesn't matter about our past. It doesn't matter what we've been going through. It doesn't matter the difficulties. God can't help you forget about your past. Don't dwell in it. Don't muddle in it. Don't let it bring you down. Make a decision to get up, to move on, and be used for the glory of God. Hey, that's the alternative. Think about it. What if Joseph would have just laid there and cried in the pit? What if he had done nothing when he sold into slavery? What if he showed no initiative at all and never rose to the position of overseeing Potiphar's house, who later would tell Pharaoh about young Joseph and be the second in command of all the world? He decided that God could use me where I am, for who I am, and with abilities that he has given me. I don't want to go into it now, but you think about it. Do you think young David went to school to learn how to be the king of Israel? I think he learned through the desert in the fields with those sheep. I think he learned through some hardship of running from King Saul. I think he learned to king it during that time of turmoil and difficulty. Dear friends, it takes a lot of pressure to make a pearl. It takes a lot of pressure to make a diamond. And I'll be the first one to recognize I will not necessarily volunteer to jump into the pressure cooker. But if God puts me there, I hope he'll help me to bloom where I'm planted. Number three, not only that God can help you, God could use the events of your past to develop your future or to build your character. God could help you forget about your past. And number three, your past is part of God's design for your future. Your past is part of God's design for your future. I just illustrated that just a few moments ago with Joseph. It began there when he was sold into slavery, and God used the process of going through all of this for down the road, he would use his past to design and develop the future of not only Joseph, but the whole world. God was taking Joseph down a path that would prepare him to feed the whole world. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Dear friends, sometimes it's difficult, it can be hard, and it's okay to say, "Ow, that hurts." But then say, "Lord, help me to learn from it. Help me to grow from it. Lord, I'm uncomfortable. I don't like being in this pit. Lord, I hate that I had to run being falsely accused of something I did not do because a woman lied and now I'm in prison." No, he kept his mouth shut and he just did what he knew he needed to do. And God helped him through the process. In order to get where God wants you, you have to start here and allow God to prepare you in patience. You've got to start somewhere. It may be tough, it may be painful, but it will help you to become more like Christ and be better prepared for what God has for you. Write this down. It may or may not be in your outline, but write this down. I'll say it twice. The place that God wants to take me is impossible without the pain of the past. Think about that. The place that God wants to take me is impossible without the pain of my past. Folks, we've all had pain and discomfort. We've all gone through difficulties, but we're going to make our decision. We're going to grow from it and allow God to walk with us through it. I mean, goodness, there's others that walk through the fire with the Lord. Boy, that's one of my favorite stories, to see that old heathen king look in. And even him noticing three was thrown in, but there was a fourth as is the image of the Son of God. He knew. Dear friends, we may go through some hardships and some difficulties, but God is there with us. He will help you to become more like Christ and better prepared. It is the same way with you, my friend. I don't know your past, but your past is part of God's design for your future. If you will respond correctly, obediently, patiently, and wait upon the Lord. Before we close this morning, let's make a few points of application and we'll be through. Number one, if your past is filled with wrongs of others, just let them go. God will give you the grace to do it. God will give you the grace to do it. If your past is filled with wrongs of others, just let them go because God will give you the grace to do it. Remember Manasseh? Just Manasseh them right out of your life. God hath made me forget all of my toil and all of my father's house. So he names his son Manasseh. Just go ahead and Manasseh those things out of your life because God's going to help you forget all your toil and all your troubles, no matter where they come from, your home life or outside of that. God will help you and he will give you grace to do it. Number two. If your past is filled with self-inflicted wounds, receive God's forgiveness and move on. Think about that. If your past is filled with self-inflicted wounds, receive God's forgiveness and just keep moving forward. Folks, we've all shot ourselves in the foot at some time or the other. We've let our mouth write a check that the rest of us could not cash. But God says somewhere along the line, receive God's forgiveness and just move on. See, God is a God of new beginnings, where we began this morning. He is a beginning again God. He is a God that lets you start all over again. He is not only a God of creation, he is a God of re-creation. His mercies are new every morning. Don't let bad choices of the past define your future. Dear friends, I don't know about you. I've made some whoppers in the past. And I may make some going forward. I don't know. I hope not. But I'm surely not going to allow those things of the past to keep me down, to pull me down, to keep me from serving and living for the Lord and for God to use me. Don't let bad choices of the past define your future. Number three, if your past is filled with questions and disappointments with God, this is a hard one. Let me say it again. If your past is filled with questions and disappointment with God, trust a sovereign, all-wise, and all-loving God with the outcome of your life. Trust him. Just trust him. Dear friends, we put faith and trust in many things every single day. We put faith in people that we don't even know that when they merge on the highway, they're not going to sideswipe me. We put faith and trust in people that they're not going to run that red light and T-bone me as I go through the intersection. We trust the restaurant when we sit down that they're going to serve us a good balanced meal and not put something else in it. We extend a lot of blind trust to people that we don't even know. But if we know a holy God who gave his son that we might have eternal life, can we not trust this sovereign God, this all-wise, all-loving God with the outcome of our life? Surely we can do that. If you can't track him, just trust him. If you can't follow, you don't understand, just trust him. If you can't follow what God is doing, just hold on in faith and God will reveal it to you. Why? Because he never makes a mistake. Think of Joseph. It wasn't a mistake that he was cast into the pit, sold into slavery, and then cast into prison. I would imagine someone who wasn't a believer, someone who was a new believer, reading the passage, reading the story, and wondering about this and saying, wow, why is this? I mean, we've got some prosperity gospel preachers out there that they must not read their Bible because all this health, wealth, and prosperity, Joseph sure didn't face that at the beginning, did he? No, we're going to go through some hardships. We're going to go through some difficulties. Some of us worse than others. And it doesn't mean that God loves us any more or any less. He's just helping, developing us that he might use us for his glory. Again, think of Joseph. It was not a mistake that he was carried into the pit, sold into slavery, and then cast into prison. Psalm 18, verse 30 and 32, and we'll be done. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Dear friends, a perfect God with a perfect plan is going to produce a perfect outcome for your life. Trust him. Just trust him. And when you do, you'll be freed from the imprisonment of your past. Or you can continue to wallow and moan and groan and become bitter and complain of all that has happened to me. Or, which by the way, that's no fun. I've done that before. I've had the pity party. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go to the garden and eat worms. Great big fat ones, little bitty skinny ones. See how they sliver and they squirm. No, that's no fun. I use worms for bait. But if we have a self-pity party and dwell and allow ourselves to get stuck there, how will God shine through our life? Folks, if you can't track him, just trust him. And remember, you can be freed from the imprisonment of your past if you will just, by faith, step out and trust him. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Our pianist is going to make her way to the keyboard here, and we're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. And I have no idea who's here and who is represented here this morning, but I can't help but to ask a few questions, and please help me. There's no one looking but me and the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you just slip your hand up and down and you and just let it till I finish and you say, preacher, pray for me. Boy, have I gone through some of the hardships and difficulties of my life. But if I'm honest, I don't even know God. I stumbled in here today. I was invited here. I've been attending on and off for a few weeks. But in all honesty, if I was to die today, I do not know where I would spend eternity, Pastor. But I would like to know. Anybody like that would just slip their hand up and right back down again and say, preacher, pray for me. Anyone at all? Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Then I'll take it to everyone here as Church of Christ. I don't need to know your business. I'm not going to come to you. But maybe you just slip your hand up and down and say, Pastor, pray for me. I needed that message today. I've allowed some things. Yes, I see several hands across the auditorium. I've allowed some things in my life to discourage me. I've been dwelling in the past of my shortcomings. I know God can use me, wants to use me, and I just need to move forward and allow God to work in my life. Anyone else? Yes, I see that hand. We're going to have a word of prayer and our pianist will begin playing. If God has spoken to your heart, where you stand or here at the altar, you do business with God. Father, you saw the hands and You know the hearts that are represented this morning. Would you move in the midst of your people? Comfort us, encourage us, strengthen us. Father, help us to make that decision. I am not going to allow Satan to imprison me, but I'm going to be freed from my past that God may use me, that I might make a difference in the life of others. Father, bless now during this time in Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed, pianos is playing. Some may need to come and pray, some may pray where you're standing, but you do business with the Lord, whatever He would have you to do.